The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 532. It's the 14th of July, 2016. On the podcast today, I have CEO of StratAero, ticker AERO, Ian McClure, updates on progress at the company and discusses the completion of GeoCurve, the UK-based specialist surveying business. Also, I have Malky, the oil and gas sector guru, expert, commentator, and he talks about the following stocks: Sound Energy, Hurricane Energy, Premier Oil, Faro Petroleum, and Aminex. And today's penny stock with potential, suggested by Dave. It's Aureus Mining, A-U-E ticker. I'll give the reasons for that in a bit.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Ian McClure, CEO of StratAero, ticker AERO. Thank you for joining me, Ian.
Good morning, Justin. Thank you.
Good morning. Now, listen, I know about the company. I've been following you for a while on Vox Markets there, and so I do get the RNSs whenever they're sent out. But for people not aware of StratAero, can you give us a basic outline as to what you guys do there?
Sure, no problem. StratAero is a company which is focused on the unmanned aerial vehicle services sector. So we principally concentrate on three or four main business areas in which we've got a great deal of experience, very skilled people, and some substantial background in. So those areas are training and education. We have in the company something like 60,000 to 70,000 flying hours worth of experience from very senior pilots who've also run commercial training companies for large airlines. So training in UAVs is going to be a big growth area, particularly as countries start to legislate and control UAVs more and more. It's essential for both hobbyists and commercial that people are properly trained and aware of the rules, regulations, how to fly safely, and how to respect privacy and all the things that go with it. So that's one area for us that we have a great deal of experience in. The second area is in survey and inspection, and that's all the new growth areas in UAVs. So using a UAV to replicate tasks which are both difficult to access and dangerous for humans, such as wind turbine inspections, offshore inspections, hard to reach areas, whether they be geographically hard or roofs or that kind of environment. Along with we're able to do things like thermal imaging, topography, boundary surveys, so on and so forth. Another area for us is security. Drone security, UAV security is going to become a very big area in the future as people become concerned about privacy invasion, about the use of UAVs in an unauthorized way. Also, security is about simple things like fence line or border control or installation management and so on. These are areas for us. And the final area is for us is in data analytics. It's how we present the data, images, and everything that's captured from UAVs and presented back to our customers. There are many automated tools to do that, and indeed we use some of those, but we also pride ourselves in the fact that we use real people who are, in general, qualified engineers, who are expert in the thing, area, or item that we're surveying, whether it be a wind turbine or a roof installation or a flood defense, and they're adding genuine value to those analytics and feeding that back to the customers in a useful and usable format. So that's basically what Strat does.
Yeah, and is any one of those strands a priority, or does it take up a bigger chunk of the pie at the moment?
The way in which we're organized at this point, we concentrate on all of them. Those are, if you like, what we've boiled down to about 25 strands. We've come down to these four or five things that we feel we're experienced in, that we have a background, skills, and the necessary tool sets to carry these out well. So we want to execute in these areas extremely well and be very good at them, rather than trying to do 200 things. Yeah, like lots of people do, you can do anything with a UAV. You can, but adding value with it is based on your expertise and bringing other skills to it. So it's like bringing security skills or survey or civil engineering skills, adding to the UAV proposition, and then you're creating something of unique and different value.
Yeah, yeah. And how is business going at the moment? I understand that the sector is a growing sector, and it's one of those sectors that, burgeoned over the last 10 years. It wouldn't have existed 10 years ago, but all of a sudden, exponential growth. How is it for you? How is the business going at the moment?
Well, this so-called exponential growth is part of the problem, Justin, in that sense. Everybody expects that UAV companies are, the great hope for the future and that we're all going to make a fortune. In reality, most of us are all in a startup phase. We're all finding levels and what we're good at and where we can add value and where we can generate and grow real revenue from. So I think, like many UAV companies, we've been through several iterations to get to the bottom of what we're good at and where we think we can add real value. And on that basis, at the moment, we're starting to win and grow repeatable contracts, particularly in the areas of survey inspection, again, in training and education. Those are things for us where we see repeatable real revenue opportunities growing into the future. When we build a repeatable and sustainable revenue base, then we'll use that to do some of the more speculative type areas with UAVs. But for now, it's about concentrating on what you're good at. Selling, however, to large customers or governmental agencies is always a long and complicated process, particularly where a new technology is involved. They rightly are concerned, does it work? Does it deliver what it promises? Is it really safe? Is it, all of those things? Is it cost effective? So, it's a fair task to convince people that the use of a UAV will in fact add value to their business and will in fact be cost effective for them. So that sell process is ongoing for everybody in this industry. It's gaining traction, and the more time goes on, the more people become convinced that this technology really is useful for them, then we're starting to see growth in those areas. But yeah, we're still essentially in a kind of startup phase.
Yeah, but essentially you say you are gaining traction surely and slowly, and it's going in the right direction. Is that the case?
That's what we believe, yeah.
Okay. Now let's go on the recent RNS, and it's about the acquisition there of GeoCurve. Can you explain a bit about that, Ian? I know you have the guys there from GeoCurve. We'll speak to those guys in a second, but can you give me an overview of the purchase of GeoCurve, please?
Sure, no problem at all. From the perspective of StratAero, we first started the discussion with GeoCurve probably around a year ago, and that's when we made the original acquisition, an announcement. Since that time, the intention was always to complete the acquisition and the deal in this time frame as to where we are now. So I think the end date was the end of May, early June of 2016. That acquisition, as always, was dependent on performance of both parties, etc., etc. But in real terms, what GeoCurve means to us is it brings a wealth of survey and inspection engineers' skills and techniques. And also within the company, there's a wealth of training, educational skills, on top of which we also have security skills inherent within GeoCurve. So GeoCurve is a tremendous asset to Strat Area on a real practical day-to-day level. It's not a theoretical company that thinks we might like to get into these things in the future. We're actually doing things in a very real and very positive way now in all of these areas. So for us, if you like, GeoCurve is the real physical manifestation of UAV deployment and implementation within the UK at this point. I think it was one of the first engineering and survey companies to use a UAV anywhere in the UK. The guys themselves can talk about these things in more detail later. But GeoCurve was very important. It's great for us to complete the acquisition and to continue to work together. We're now going to fully integrate GeoCurve in with StratAero. take full benefit of that integration in terms of cost, skills, and resource sharing, and move forward with everybody. And I'm delighted to say that the original GeoCurve team remain in place and will continue to remain in place into the future, working with Strat. So, you know, that itself evidences the fact that this is a very positive marriage, for want of a better description.
Yeah, and just looking at the cost, it's just under $1 million, and I see that the sales achieved by GeoCurve for the year ended 2016 were $660,000 there. And so how is that going to be paid there, Ian?
How do you mean, the acquisition price? How is that going to be?
Yes, yeah.
Well, it's a combination. It's in the RNS. It's a combination of cash and equity. They're taking stake in Strat Aero, which is also, we feel, a very positive thing, you know. I can't stress this enough. This is not... GeoCurve isn't going to exist as a subsidiary somewhere alongside. GeoCurve is becoming the main operational element of Strat going forward. We're going to be very much together. We're not going to be separated.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, well, let's talk to Perrin and Gary there from GeoCurve. Hi, guys. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Morning, Justin.
Morning, Justin.
Now, give us a bit of background there, a bit of depth to GeoCurve. What's it all about? And obviously, were you both initial founders of GeoCurve?
Yes, we were, yeah. So there's I think as Ian said, there's a good mix of skills. Gary, speak for himself, I mean, comes from an engineering background. I come from more of an airborne surveillance perspective. And really, we've combined those skills to create what is GeoCurve and the operational arm of Strat Aero.
And essentially, who are your clients?
So we've got a very broad, diverse customer base, ranging from, say, the Environment Agency, large sort of corporate organisations and companies that have, assets that need inspecting or surveying, down to smaller private organisations that have, say, boundary disputes or need some topographical information or even, assistance with security concerns.
Yeah, do you know, I'm always fascinated because we are, like we said, the sector is still in its infancy. But when did you guys set this up? And it must have been just an idea at that time, hasn't it?
Both of us have got a lot of experience of commercial operations with UAVs. I'd say we were very early in the market. It is, as Ian said, still emerging. That would go back, say, in my case, 4 to 5 years, and similarly for Gary.
And are you now still as excited about the sector as you were when you set up GeoCurve initially?
I'm more excited. Again, as Ian said, the scope of opportunity is so big. We're now at a stage where we're getting a little bit more specific and we're focusing on our key areas and our key skills. And obviously, that means we can grow specific markets and return some of those investments.
Yeah, and I suppose, is that the way the industry is going? I mean, like I said, everyone's trying to land grab here, I suppose, a little bit, but it'll come down to the best niche players, won't it?
Yeah, that's definitely already happening. There's a wide variety of training organisations, and some have, a different set of skills. And similarly, we have, and we're going to do things, we are doing things slightly differently. So... there's certainly a wide choice for operators to work within.
All right, over to Gary. Gary, you're very much on the civil engineering inspection side of it. Can you give us an example of some of the work you've done up to date?
Yep, no problem, Justin. We started back in 2000 as a survey company in the UK. That developed along the way. We ended up on one of the biggest contracts of a natural or man-made reservoir in the country, which is Abberton Reservoir. That led to the purchase of the first fixed-wing UAV sold in the UK in 2012. We built up over the 15 years a lot of trust and faith from a lot of big construction companies. And just from the civil side, the UAVs became a very big tool in delivering data quicker, safer, greener. On the topographical side of stuff. So just from the surveying side, really good track record, some really big clients in the country. And now by joining Strat, that's really giving us maybe the weight behind what we've been working very hard for over the last 16 years. So there was a lot of name changes along the way, but still the same team. GeoCurve consists of a lot of expertise, a lot of good contacts, and really excited about the future of delivering better products to some of these customers.
Yeah, and I suppose, as you know, like I said, you are somewhat, especially in the UK, you know, Stratair and you guys, you know, pioneers in this field. And whenever you are pioneering, you know, a certain sort of sector, it's never a smooth ride, you know, because no one's ever done it before. So, you know, like, so we all can expect sort of a bumpy ride when you are sort of pioneers. So if I can go back to Ian, I think we've had a nice update there from the guys at GeoCurve. Ian, for investors listening out there right now and thinking this is a very exciting sector, you know, they want a summary and a reason, or a couple of reasons to put you on their Vox Markets watch list. Could you give us three sort of bullet points, please?
Thank you, Justin. I think, as everybody says, number one would still be the potential market, the scope for growth, for new innovation in the use of UAVs and their deployment is huge. Everybody is still trying to find their way in that, but there's no lack of potential in the marketplace. So that would be number one. Number two is the subject we're discussing today. The completion of the GeoCurve acquisition means that we can move forward integrating this with Strat. It gives us a very real, tangible, operational platform in which to grow and develop from. And that's very, very important to us. We've got a group of highly skilled people here. Moving forward in our customer offering is very important to us. And thirdly, the fact that, you know, after a year or so in existence in the UAV industry, we've refined, if you like, and distilled our strategic plan down into focus areas that we've got skills in that are low investment for us going forward, and that we have experience in where we think we can add real value to customers in those areas. So that's going to be our focus, is consolidating with GeoCurve, integrating closely, sharing resources, growing and developing those skills, and increasing the value in which we can add to customers going forward.
Great stuff, guys. Thank you for taking the time out. Perrin, Gary and Ian, look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
Thank you, Justin.
Brilliant. Cheers, Justin.
Bye, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is oil and gas sector expert, authority, blog writer, commentator, it's Malky. Thanks for coming back on, Malky.
Very welcome. Very much enjoy doing the podcast, Justin.
Yeah, we'll get some good feedback, and that's because you know your stuff, you see, and that's always nice. So what are you looking at, Malky?
Well, I'm going to update on two stocks which I mentioned in previous ones, so that's Sound and Hurricane. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to talk about Premier, Faro and Aminex.
Okay, cool.
So just to talk about Sound, Sound has been a favourite in the bucket list for a couple of years. It had gone a bit quiet, but that was because it was drilling a big hole in Morocco. And they've announced a few days ago that they've found a very substantial gas discovery in Morocco. Shares have gone from 16.8p to 29p in the last few days. So that's a huge discovery. Just wanted to tell people that if they've been in Sound for a while and they've had a run, I think it's got plenty more to go for. We're bound to be hearing more announcements from this discovery, and they've got other things on the go. So
that chart is phenomenal. It's literally, it was trading between like 18 and 16 pence until literally last week before last, and it took off, didn't it? Right up past 28 pence, and phenomenal.
But, you know, I mean, don't forget that there's a lot of people in there. It might be tempted to take stock out, but you know, I think we're going to get more and more good news from this hole in Morocco. So
okay, cool.
The other one I wanted to talk about briefly was Hurricane, which, as you know, I'm a huge fan of. Since we last spoke, they have now spudded the first of the two back-to-back wells that they're drilling at their Lancaster prospect. Those shares are doing well as well. These two wells should confirm the resource estimates that they've got. They're being very cautious about it at the moment, but I can tell you that if these two wells come in, and we're going to have to wait you know, 120 days plus testing, so, you know, there's no panic. But if these two wells come in, then my bullishness about Hurricane is going to be proved correct.
Yeah, well, they're consolidating nicely, the chart there at the moment, between, you know, 16 and sort of 20 pence. If it breaks above 20, it's going again, I think, you know. So,
yeah. When they did the deal, the shares were 8p, and they did the deal at 15p, and then, you know, they've gone on. So, yeah, you know, things are looking pretty good for Hurricane. Another one to be patient, big discovery for a small company, very, very happy with.
Yeah. Okay, what's next?
Just talk about three other stocks briefly, Justin, if I may.
Yeah.
Premier Oil has been a seriously badly hit stock over the last 2 years, but in the first half of this year, it's picked up very nicely. And there are two ways of looking at Premier. Either you think that, you know, like I do, that operationally they're doing all the right things in a difficult environment, and the shares were just far too cheap, or you believe that they've got too much debt, and they're in negotiations with their debtors at the moment. All I would say is that, having written a piece in the blog a couple of days ago when they made an announcement, is that, you know, it's a sort of do you feel lucky thing. I mean, I happen to believe that operationally they've got some very strong assets. You know, the deal that they did recently with E.ON has proved to be fantastic, and I think operationally they're in very strong position. The shares have gone from 30p to 70p this year, and it went into the bucket list at the beginning of the year because I just thought, you know, this is one you have to take a gamble on. If with $2.5 billion of debt, you think that the debtors are going to make changes or call in the debt, then it's gone from 30p to 70p. You should take your money off the table. That would be my advice. If you think that the debtors think that the oil price is picking up, that they're happy to stay with it, I would very much do just that. So, you know, Premier, it's a big stock. It's much derided. You know, the company knows that they've got to sort out the level of debt, but they've also got this wonderful asset, and the Falklands called Sea Lion. So, you know, just that's one to watch out for. It's time for shareholders to start making decisions on that one. I'd stick with it myself.
Yeah, well, do you know what? If you didn't know anything fundamentally about this company, you'd see the chart and think, this is recovering, because even the moving averages are looking in the right direction now. We've got a golden cross cap in there. But like I said, in the background, there's this debt situation, which you've got to keep a close eye on, I suppose, you know?
That's right. I mean, but no, you don't get anything for nothing, Justin. And, no. And the point is that, you know, this one, that's the risk with Premier. Mm-hmm. I tend to believe that it's going to be okay. And I think the chart still looks absolutely fantastic. As you said, the golden cross looks formed and in place. So, you know, I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah. Okay, what's next?
Again, next one is Faroe Petroleum, also in the bucket list, and has been in a very strong position. It raised money 2 or 3 years ago, so it doesn't need any money. It's got a fantastic management, mainly North Sea, and primarily at the moment Norwegian North Sea, which is extremely tax efficient. They drilled a hole recently on a thing called Brasse, B-R-A-S-S-E, which was a good discovery, but then they did a sidetrack. They announced the result of the sidetrack on Monday, which is a significant oil and gas discovery. So this could be 50 million barrels of oil and 150 BCF of gas. All I'd say is that, you know, this is very, very efficient discovery. They've got two or three potential infrastructure places nearby that they could take it into. And I'm very happy with my long-term recommendation. Faroe's in the bucket list, and that's where it's going to stay.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, a good background to these companies, at least, you know, oil seems to be stabilizing now. It hasn't, you know, it's flirted with $45 recently, but it seems like in that range between 45-50, and I think we could be seeing maybe a mark higher, you know, towards the end of the year. So it's a good thing. It's a good background fundamentals to these companies. At least the oil prices seems to be going in the right direction, doesn't it?
I think that's right. I mean, you know, you don't get any of these things, but, you know, it never goes up in a line or down in a line, and I think we have spikes on things at the moment. We've had all the reports this week from the agencies, OPEC and the IEA and the EIA, and they're all pretty positive, except they all say, you know, don't forget, we've still got a lot of stock around. So when things go badly, there'll be, you know, stock details coming out which are bad. And then when things are going well, we'll suddenly find that so with the second half things look a lot better. I think that at the moment we're looking very interestingly poised at 46, whatever it is, for Brent. And I genuinely believe that we're going to go higher in the second half of the year and potentially a lot higher next year. So, you know, if you find a company that's doing stuff at the moment and making discoveries and is going to last the distance, you stick with them. Yeah. As I've always said, Justin, you make sure in the oil and gas sector, I guess it's the same anywhere else, but there's a whole lot list of haves and a long list of have-nots. The most important thing is to make sure you're not in any of the have-nots. And then you'll just pick and choose the ones from the haves.
Okay. What's the last one, Malky?
Last one is Aminex, and I've been a bull of Jay Battagier for a long time with his Tanzanian gas discoveries, and that is now turning into a development because they've got first gas and it's being delivered and it's being paid for. This is Kilawanu, it's called, and it's in Tanzania. But more importantly, it's not in the bucket list at the moment because, you know, we needed to see the whites of the eyes of the gas and so on. But more importantly, they've just had a raise. On Monday they announced a raise, but particularly they've got a cornerstone investor. So this is a company with a market cap of like £26 million, and they've raised just under £20 million.
Yeah.
So they've got a cornerstone investor. So they put 20, so they're going to be 45 million quid market cap. Cornerstone investor is going to put in, 15, say. So they're going to have a solid cornerstone investor. They've got the gas up and running, they're being paid for, and this money pays for the drilling program. You know, what's not to like, really? It's taken its time. Some people ran out of patience. I never did. I always thought that that Jay would bring it home. You know, you've got to watch it carefully, make sure the deal goes through and everything else. But one for the notebook, as they say, Justin, Aminex.
Yeah, one for the Vox Markets watch list. Just click follow and you get all the news sent to your smartphone when they release an RNS. So, lovely. So we've got Sound Energy, Hurricane Energy, Premier Oil, Faro Petroleum, Aminex there. Talk about Malky. I'll put links to those on the site there. Just go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog, where you can also see Malky's blog. Malky, thanks very much. Speak soon.
My pleasure. Look forward to it, Justin. Thank you very much.
Okay, today's penny stock with potential, suggested by Dave. Oh, Dave. What's the name and ticker symbol? It is Aureus Mining. A-U-E. What does the company do? It's Liberia's first commercial gold mine. How many shares does the company have in issue? 601 million. What's the current price and market cap? 4.75 pence, 28.5 million market cap. What revenue and profit or loss does the company generate? Financial results for the quarter ended 31st of May 2016 show gold production from the New Liberty mine is 22,706 ounces for the quarter, with revenues of $23.1 million. From gold sales of 19,000 ounces. How much cash or debt does the company have? Price to book value, 0.18. And 30 million equity investment at 3.21 pence per share by MNG Gold. This was representing a premium of 22.3% to the closing price on AIM on the 14th of June 2016. MNG Gold to become a 55% shareholder via this 30 million equity financing. Their current liabilities in the year ended statement for the full year of 2015 with 33 million current liabilities. List three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, new management team and major investor backing. Number two, S&P up 58% last month despite no gold production. And three, get on board now for 5 pence as production due shortly. that's not a reason based in fact there or research. That's an opinion. And of course, this all may be opinion. That's why it's a suggested penny stock with potential. All these companies are mentioned on the podcast are investment ideas. Please do your own due diligence and research and find out whether you think it's a good company or not. I mean, what you could do in the medium term, of course, is put it on your Vox Markets watch list. Just go to voxmarkets.co.uk/company/AUE, or whatever ticker the company is, and hit follow. then you'll receive RNSs straight to the front screen of your phone whenever that company you follow releases them. Keeps you on top of the story, and that's in a constant research. You should always try and do that. So that's thank you, Dave, for getting involved there. That's Aureus Mining, AUE, and by all means, feel free to suggest a penny stock that you think has potential. Just click the link here at foxmarkets.co.uk/blog. You'll see the Fox Markets blogs there. There's a link in there. Fill out the form. It takes 5 minutes, and I will be getting it, you know, the air of attention, of publicity, which sometimes if a company is genuinely undervalued and it gets a bit of publicity on the podcast, it does start to move in the right direction. Thank you very much. That's it for the podcast. And more tomorrow after the momentous big events tonight. So it's a bit of a big one, so I may be sounding a bit rough tomorrow. But thank you for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.